Well, hello there. It's Siobhan from Relatable, and we are here in week 5 of the Getting to Halfway program. I don't know if you can, but I cannot believe it. We are flying through this program. And this week, we are covering a really important topic, effective communication. You know, when I talk with couples, communication is often cited as one of the most problematic issues in a relationship. People think that they're not really communicating, but they are. What you don't say is sometimes more important than what you do say. The lack of sharing what's really on your mind, or the assumptions that, you know, he will just know, or the secret fuming and building up of resentment, those things really speak loudly, and they show up in subtle and not so subtle ways in your relationship. And as your coach, I want to suggest that actually the larger issue with communication and relationships really is around your thoughts about communication. So here are some examples. I'm going to read some statements, and you just identify which ones you can relate to. So, I'm not a good communicator. He's not a good communicator. He never listens. We can't ever get on the same page. We just don't communicate. We don't have the time to really talk. We just sweep things under the rug. We go on just like nothing happened. You know, when these thoughts fill your head, it leads to sort of this stage of inaction where you sort of already feel defeated before you take a step. So how could you make progress to communicate effectively if your mind is filled with these thoughts? But imagine instead if you believed you were both great communicators. How different would you approach discussing everything from how your day went to how to make your relationship even better? So communication is a big topic, and there are so many different directions we could take this session. Honest have a full 8 sessions on communication just by itself. You know, this week we could spend all of our time going over the way you should say things, how to use I statements, and the skill of active listening. And I will give you a bit of that. But I'd actually love to focus more deeply on what's going on in our head that's affecting your ability and willingness to communicate in the way that you would ultimately like. This week, you know, we can only scratch the surface, but I hope that what's offered will move you, you know, several steps ahead in a very meaningful way. So let's get started. And don't forget to access and print out your worksheet so you can follow along. So step one of this session is really asking the question, your communication story. And similar to week one, you know, you should use a process of recording your thoughts this time on the topic of communication. So you'll include specific thoughts about your communication, your partner's communication, and how you communicate together. You're going to actually respond to the question, what do I think about my communication? So really think about that. What do I think about my communication? And then you're going to respond to the question, what do I think about my partner's communication? What do you think about his communication? And, you know, once you've listed your thoughts, I ask you to complete the following sentences. There are some sentence stems, which you know by now that I absolutely love. And here they are. So the first is, because I think these thoughts, again, we're talking about how you feel about your communication and your partner's communication. Because I think these thoughts, when it comes to communicating with my partner, I, and then you'll fill in the blank. The second one is, actually, let me just read that first one again. Because I think these thoughts, when it comes to communicating with my partner, I. The second is, because I think these thoughts, when my partner is speaking to me, I. Because I think these thoughts, when my partner is speaking to me, I. And then the last one thing I know I could do today to improve our communication is, one thing I know I could do today to improve our communication is. Okay, so hopefully you've thought about your thoughts about your communication, your thoughts about his communication, and you have a moment to complete those sentence stems. And once you've done that, we're going to move on to step two, which is to visualize your ideal communication. And so what I want you to do here is to just take a moment to think about what you would ideally like communication to be like in your relationship. And you're going to record this ideal picture on your worksheet, and I have some questions that you can consider that may help you really think about this clearly. So some of those questions are, what would you talk about on a daily basis? If you visualize your ideal communication, what are the things that you guys would talk about on a daily basis? What are the things that you would regularly say to each other? Are you visualizing and hoping and wishing that you guys would be more expressive about how you feel about each other? Again, just thinking about what are the things you would regularly say to each other. Maybe it's just, thank you, I appreciate you, I love you, whatever it is for you. Another question to consider, how would you like to feel when talking to your partner? You know, when you guys have deep conversations or if you're sharing some concerns, do you get nervous and anxious? Or do you feel that he's very welcoming and open to hearing what you have to say? How would you really like to feel when talking with your partner? Think about how you're feeling now and how you ideally would like to feel if communication was great. Another question is, how would you talk about issues in your relationship? So what would that conversation look like? Maybe you're hoping it would just be very peaceful and calm and nobody's feelings would get hurt, that you could really have a rational conversation. How would you handle arguments and disagreements? What would be the ultimate outcomes? And then this is a really important question. How would better communication make a difference in your relationship? And so again, you're just going to visualize what ideal communication would look like in your relationship. And hopefully, you know, these questions and responding to these questions will give you a glimpse into what's possible in your relationship. And that's whether, you know, you're almost there now or if this couldn't be farther from what is really happening in your relationship. What's really important is that either way, you know, you have to believe that you can create this great and amazing way of communicating with your partner, right? That's the first step, is believing that it's possible. And so for now, just make a mental note of the degree to which you believe you can have the communication you'd like to have with your partner. Do you believe it? How much do you believe it? How much don't you believe it? Really take an honest look at that. And if you find that you're not confident that you can actually get to great communication, I really want you to take a look at why. Why do you believe that? And, you know, often again, the answer will reveal itself in the thoughts that you are thinking. And in this instance, I encourage you to use, you know, the thought processing questions that we talked about previously in the first session to understand and hopefully shift your story. And again, those questions are, is this thought 100% true? So again, if you're really struggling, you don't believe you could ever get to great communication, what are the thoughts that are getting in the way of that for you? And then ask yourself, is this 100% true? How would you feel and act if this thought did not exist, if you could literally erase it from your mind? And then why do you choose to think this thought? Again, it seems, and it's true, that our thoughts are sort of automatic, but there are some thoughts that we just constantly replay in our mind over and over again. And so in those instances, you are actually choosing what to think. You can shift your mind to more positive thoughts that really can get you to a place of opening your mind and really believing that you can have great communication, right? And so again, with all of this, the approach in this process, I want you to do it with a genuine curiosity, as if you're learning something very important about yourself. This is not to beat yourself up, but just to really like look inside your own mind and understand what's going on. So then step three is understanding your communication type and style. And so you may have heard me talk about love languages. Everyone has a love language. And everyone has a specific way that they communicate and particular style in which they communicate with others. And so it may vary depending on the context. You know, the way you communicate at work may be very different from how you communicate at home. But at your core, there is some consistency to how you share your ideas, your thoughts, and your desires with others. So if you were to actually Google communication styles, which I did, you would be inundated with so much information. And what I've done is I've seen and I've narrowed it down to what I consider sort of four main types based on what is out there in the literature and other researchers and people who have spent many, many more years looking at communication. And the types that are most popular is passive-aggressive, assertive, and aggressive. There was actually newer information on this fifth type of communication. It's called manipulative, but some would argue that it's similar to sort of passive-aggressive. And so in your email, you have the links for some resources that really discuss these communication types in further detail. But for the sake of sort of just bringing you up to speed here as you listen to this audio, I thought I would just quickly summarize the most common four, and this is literally directly from one of the links that you'll have in your email. So passive communication. This is a style in which individuals have developed a pattern of avoiding expressing their opinions or feelings. They're protecting their rights and identifying and meeting their needs. So passive communication is usually sort of born out of low self-esteem. These individuals believe, I'm not worth taking care of. And as a result, passive individuals don't respond overtly to hurtful or anger-inducing situations. Instead, they sort of allow these grievances to mount, and they're usually unaware that they're even building up. But once they've reached their sort of high tolerance threshold for unacceptable behavior, they're prone to explosive outbursts and usually sort of out of proportion to whatever the triggering incident was. Passive communicators will often fail to assert for themselves. They allow others to deliberately or inadvertently infringe on their rights. They fail to express their feelings, needs, or opinions. They tend to speak softly or apologetically, and they exhibit poor eye contact and slumped body posture. So that's passive communication. Aggressive communication, on the other hand, is a style where individuals express their feelings and opinions and advocate for their needs in a way that sort of violates the rights of others. So, you know, aggressive communicators are verbally and sometimes physically abusive, and that's also born out of low self-esteem and either unhealed wounds and feelings of powerlessness. So aggressive communicators will often try to dominate others. They use humiliation to control others. They will criticize or blame or attack others. They are probably very impulsive. They have a low frustration tolerance. They speak sort of in a loud, demanding, and overbearing voice. They act threateningly and rudely. They do not listen well. They interrupt frequently. They use you statements, and they have sort of this piercing eye contact and overbearing posture. So that's aggressive. The next is passive aggressive communication. And this is a style where individuals appear sort of passive on the surface, but are really acting out anger in a subtle, indirect, or behind the scenes way. So the example given on the website was about prisoners of wars, but they often act in passive-aggressive ways to deal with, you know, this overwhelming lack of power. They may secretly sabotage the prison or make fun of the enemy or quietly disrupt the system while smiling and appearing cooperative. So they're kind of like the backstabbers. People who develop, you know, this pattern of passive-aggressive communication usually feel powerless as well. They feel sort of stuck and resentful. You know, in other words, they are actually sort of incapable of dealing directly with the object of their resentments, and instead they express their anger by sort of subtly undermining the, you know, the subject of their resentments. You know, they'll smile at you while setting booby traps all around you. Again, the backstabbing. So passive-aggressive communicators will often sort of mutter to themselves rather than confront the person or issue. They have difficulty acknowledging their anger. They use facial expressions that don't really match how they feel, like they might smile when they're angry. They use sarcasm. They deny there's a problem. They appear cooperative while purposely doing things to annoy and disrupt. They use subtle sabotage to get even. So that is passive aggressive. And then the last one is assertive communication. And this is a style in which individuals clearly state, you know, their opinions and feelings. They firmly advocate for their rights and needs without violating the rights of others. So very different from aggressive communication. Assertive communication is really born out of people that have higher self-esteem. So these individuals value themselves, their time, and their emotional, spiritual, and physical needs, and they're strong advocates for themselves while being respectful of the rights of others. So, you know, an assertive communicator will state their needs and their wants clearly, appropriately, and respectfully. They will be clear. They will use I statements. They communicate a respect for others. They listen well without interrupting. They feel in control of themselves. They have good eye contact. They speak in a calm and clear tone of voice, have a relaxed body posture. They feel connected to others. They feel competent and in control, and they won't allow others to abuse or manipulate them, and then they also stand up for their rights. So, again, that's a lot of information to digest. I hope you got some key nuggets of information, but, again, you have the links in the email. You can definitely take a closer look at these communication types. And in addition to these types, there's actually even more subtle characteristics that make up what I would call sort of our communication style. And so understanding your communication style will complement what you know, may already know about your communication type. So, again, most of the topics that deal with communication style really talk about it more in a professional setting, but I still think they can be easily applied to our personal relationships as well. And so if you really are interested in getting a detailed communication style assessment, there are two resources in the email that I provide. And then I've also included something that's a little bit more quick and to the point that doesn't require that you actually do an assessment. And for now, I'm just going to go over really quickly those communication profiles, again, listed in one of the websites you have in your email. There are two styles focused on tasks. There's the doers. Doers like to be in control. They like quick action. They like to see results. They like to get right to the point. They don't care for the details. They sort of get bored easily. So they like autonomy. They're self-starters, innovators. They like public recognition, et cetera. So the doers, in control, get to the point. Let's make it happen. Let's not talk about it. Let's just do it. Thinkers, on the other hand, sort of love to gather information. So they really enjoy reading, presenting their findings. they like to mentally rehearse before they present or before they talk. They take time in making their decisions. But once they do make decisions, they really sort of stand by what they've decided to do. They like clear expectations, specific goals, and deadlines. They live by a sense of order and methodologies and personal responsibilities. They love to win and will compete with themselves. And then they sort of can jump into the game with no coaxing if they think they have a fighting chance. They're proud of their good work. They like acknowledgement, but they won't ask for it. So that's thinkers. And then the other two styles are sort of more focused on relationship. So influencers. Influencers like to sort of verbally process their thoughts, and so they welcome situations where they can sort of think out loud with others. They tend to interrupt others, really especially when they're excited about a topic, and they view this as conversation and not disruptive. They really enjoy people, they desire approval, and tend to be really creative and friendly. They often see the bright side of things and can be very amusing, dramatic, and passionate about work. They also help others get through difficult times and can build rapport and support. They genuinely like people. And sometimes they can find themselves in a lot of drama because they're quick to want to help fix things. And then the other one is a connector. So a connector, you know, count on others to set the tone and determine direction. They're consistent and reliable once they're given their responsibility. So they like to work with others instead of alone, but they really take their time in trusting and allowing new people to join their groups. They don't readily give opinions, but it doesn't mean that they don't have any. It's really because they're more diligent and dependable, and, you know, they know how to get the work done. They like to be asked what they know and appreciate personal recognition. They desire consistency, and although they may appear stubborn, they can be very flexible and adaptable if they understand why the changes are being made and how they will benefit themselves and others. So they seek to reduce stress and promote harmony. So, again, that's a lot of information to digest. You may have seen bits and pieces of yourself in all of those different styles, but hopefully you've gotten slightly a better sense of maybe something that's a little bit more prominent for you as you think about your interactions with your partner than the others. And if you think you've got it, if you think there's some pieces of any of those that really sort of resonate with you, then what I just want you to do is to record your insights on the worksheet. And you can just list the things that you heard that really sort of stood out to you. And so, again, the different types are: there's passive communicator, aggressive communicator, passive aggressive, and assertive. And then for the styles, there are doers, thinkers, influencers, and connectors. And so, you know, really, once you've sort of recorded your thoughts and have some ideas about where you may sit on there, all I want you to do for this week is just to notice and observe how your communication type and style really play themselves out in your interactions with your partner. And we're actually going to talk a lot more about this in our coaching call. But for now, just really just sort of pay attention, take note. And then the fourth step for this week's session is to simply observe your partner's communication type and style. And so, again, if you listen to my discussion of those various types, or even if you've had a moment to go ahead and look through the resources and the links I've provided, I'm sure that you probably notice some characteristics of how your partner communicates. It's inevitable that you're listening, you're like, yep, he does that. Oh, yeah, for sure he does that. And it's very natural to do so. At the same time, it's also sort of easy to make judgments about his way of communication and to use that information to sort of justify yourself in your own actions. And so what I want to encourage you to do is to focus less on sort of pointing a finger or placing blame for any communication issues, and instead just observe his style with no judgment at all. You know, just as your style is based upon your experiences and your expectations, so is his. And so for this step, throughout the week, I just want you to make observations of how he talks to you, how he talks to others, as well as what he says and what he doesn't say. So those subtle things of maybe just noticing his body language. He's not saying the words, but this is what he's communicating to you. And just jot down some notes and pay attention to the ways that his style and your style work well together or could work well together. Okay? So that is it for this module. There's so much more that could be said. I don't want to overwhelm you, so we are going to stop there. Please don't forget to review the action steps and put forth effort to make those things happen this week. Try to complete your action steps. And, of course, I would love to know how this is all going for you. So please don't be a stranger. Let me know what's working and where you are stuck. I will be back with you next week for session 6. And until then, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Talk to you soon.